worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Ryan Jerome, and on behalf of Pastor Rod Hank, we welcome you to worship with us today. Before we begin our time of worship, we do have a few announcements that we'd love for you to be aware of. There's lots happening here at Joy, and so we'd love for you to be a part of all of these things that we have going on. First of all, there's the Women of Joy Bake Sale, which is this weekend. The proceeds for this event go to support Summer Shelter Network. And following our worship service on Sunday morning, we are having an ice cream social. We'd love to see you there. There are opportunities for retreats coming up, plenty of retreats coming up. There is a men's retreat, August 20th through the 22nd. You can register for that event here at the church, or you can contact the church office. There's also a Women of Joy Day Retreat, which is September 18th. That is in Aurora, so it's local here in our community. But there also will be a Women of Joy Weekend Retreat, which will take place in October, October 8th through the 10th. Registration for that weekend retreat is due by September 1st. So if you're thinking about going, you'll want to make sure you get on that soon. Reminder that we are in need of Sunday school volunteers. This is something that we didn't really get to have a whole lot of last year, or at least Sunday school had to look different. And this year we're so excited to have the kids back here in the building, but it means that we need you. We need your help. And so if you're able and willing to help with Sunday school in whatever fashion, in whatever form, we'd love to have you. Please contact Stephanie Hawley. And are you interested in becoming a new member here at Joy? New member classes will take place on after Sunday services on August 15th and August 22nd. If you're interested in or want to know more about these events or what all is entailed in becoming a member, please contact Ann Peltier or Carrie Thomas with any questions that you have. Lastly, all of the information that we have here at church can be found on our cue cards. You can pick one of those up here at the church. It's a card that has all of the QR codes that leads you to all the information you could need for all the happenings here at church. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the day that the Lord has blessed us with, and together let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us begin our time of worship. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share God's peace with one another. We continue now with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we are drawn to Christ and as we seek God's abundance, let us confess our sin. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. O God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, we are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. And through Jesus, the bread of life, we are shown God's mercy, we are forgiven, and we are loved into abundant life. Amen. We join together in singing our opening hymn.
Church's proclamation is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation. creation, by water and the word. From heaven came as water to be his holy bride. With his own money bought her, and for her wife he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her shorter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food. And to one hope she presses, with every grace and boon. Through toil and tribulation, and tumult of her war, she waits her consummation of peace forevermore. Till with a vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the Three in One, and mystics with communion with those whose rest is one. Oh, blessed heavenly chorus, for save us by your grace, that we like saints before us may sing you praise.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the readings.
Today's first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah prophesied before the exile in 587 BCE. In this passage, he uses the metaphor of a shepherd to describe the bad kings who have scattered the flock of Israel. God promises to gather the flock and to raise up a new king from David's line to save Israel and Judah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of the flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, The Lord is our righteousness. Our responsive psalm is the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, and you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. The author of this letter reminds his audience that originally they were not part of God's chosen people. Through Jesus' death, however, they are included in God's household of faith, whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Here ends the readings.
Continue our worship this morning with the reading of the Gospel lesson. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O God. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret, moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that he might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship this morning with the children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. Hey, how y'all doing today? I'm so glad to see you all. Well, I can't really see you, but you can see me. So, hey, how you doing? Anyway, this morning we have a Bible lesson, and it's about Jesus and his disciples. And they have been working so hard. They've been teaching people. They've been feeding people. They've been doing miracles, healing people who are sick, and just giving people a whole lot of hope. And more people keep coming. And they got to the point where they were tired. They needed a break. So I've been thinking about that. And sometimes we all need breaks, right? Especially during the summer. It's a special time for us when we take a break called a vacation. One time, Miss Janet and I took a vacation. This is a picture of us, and we are on a beach, and those are our toes. They are awesome toes, aren't they? So there we are, and we're resting on the beach because we took time off of work just to be quiet. We read books. We went for walks. We went for bike rides. We just tried to take care of ourselves so that we could come back and be strong and be refreshed and ready to go, right? So I've been thinking about your summer vacations. What have you all been doing this summer on your vacations? I got an idea. How about you send me emails? All of you, send me a little email, just a short little email, and tell me what you're doing this summer. I want to know. I want to hear from you. So if maybe your mom and dad can help you to find my email address and send an email to me here at church, that would be awesome. And I'll email you back. I just want to know, are you resting? Are you having fun? So in the church, we have a special word for the day of rest. We call it the Sabbath. Everybody say it. Sabbath. Right. Sabbath means to rest. That's really what that word means. And when God created the world, for 6 days, God worked really, really hard, making the heavens and all the stars and then all the animals and all the land and all the plants and us. And then after 6 days, whew, of all that creating, God was tired. And God said, I think it's time to take a rest. So that's when God created the Sabbath day, the rest day for us. And our rest day is usually either Saturday or Sunday, maybe the whole weekend even if we're lucky. And that's a time where we can come to worship, come to church, either online or in person, and we can sing and pray and we can talk to God. And then we get to spend the rest of the day resting with our families and taking care of each other. Maybe it means being quiet. Maybe it means reading a book. I don't know how you spend your Sabbath day. But just remember, even God rested. So it's very, very important for us to rest. Capiche? Capash. Hey, send me those emails. Let's have a prayer. Here we go. Dear God, thank you so much for creating us and for taking a day of rest. Thank you for reminding us that we need to rest sometimes too. Help us to rest and to trust in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. All right. I will see you all later, and take care. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Over the years of my life, just like you, I've picked up certain ways of speaking, patterns of speech, sayings, idioms, colloquialisms, and various language whatnots along the way. Some are nice, some are not so nice, but I thought I might share a few of my favorites with you this morning. These come from my Texas friends. My buddy Skip says, "I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs." Or, "They were all over that guy like a buzzard on a gut wagon." Or, "He's so backwoods, he thinks that a 7-course meal is one possum and a 6-pack of beer." Then there are some that came from my family. My family used to say, "I didn't just fall off the turnip truck, you know." Or, "Your barn door is open." Yeah. Or if we ever complained about having too much work to do, you would not get sympathy, not from my family. My grandpa would simply look at us and say, "There's no rest for the wicked." Just a matter of fact, the way that it is. Because we are humans, there's always more than enough work to do, more than enough for everyone. So this morning, I want to talk about Jesus' leadership style. From the gospel lesson, it's clear that Jesus was the boss, right? The disciples listened to him and did whatever he asked them to do. As a matter of fact, in this particular gospel lesson, the disciples are reporting back to Jesus. Remember, in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus sent them, the 12 disciples, out into the world to preach and to teach and to have authority over unclean spirits. Then in our story today, they come back from all that work that they've done out in the water. They come back to give Jesus a report of everything they had done and everything they had taught. But there's a slight problem. Many people, lots of people, were coming and going. They were bustling about, constantly demanding Jesus's time, so that Jesus and the disciples didn't even get a chance to eat. They were busy. They were busier than a one-toothed man in a corn in the cob eating contest. Busier than a farmer with one hoe and two rattlesnakes. Busier than a moth in a mitten. You get the idea. They were busy. They were just way too busy. And that's not good. You know, no matter what anyone tells you, no matter what other people demand of you, no matter what this culture around us says, suggesting that you are not a good employee or a good parent or a good person unless you are constantly busy, moving and going and producing and accomplishing every single minute of every single day. Sometimes we get our value as a person from how busy and productive we are. Well, pish posh. In my opinion, actually, it's not my opinion, it's the Bible's opinion. We have a choice about this busy issue. We can either meet the expectations of the world around us and the demands that it makes on us, or we can try to meet the expectations of God. Occasionally, we can do both, but it's way more important for us to heed the higher expectation, right? We who believe in God are called to listen to God and obey God and build our lives around what God has taught us. And you all remember that even God, in the course of creation, took a day off. He took a day of rest. I mean, 6 days of work, a lot of work, of making this and that, the heavens and the earth, the fish and the birds and the cattle and the humans. Oy, it was enough. Even for God, it was enough. So God took a break. God rested on the 7th day and said that it was holy and named it the Sabbath, which means to rest. And then God, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, said, y'all need to honor the Sabbath day. You need to rest. And sure, the primary reason we honor the Sabbath is to take time out of our busy lives to worship the Lord our God, to give God the honor and the time and the energy that God deserves. So this past week at Vacation Bible School, we learned about the Ten Commandments, and Steve Lance, our bass guitarist, played Moses. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, that doesn't sound right. It's a huge stretch to have a bass guitarist play Moses, but I'm here to tell you that Steve did a great job. He was outstanding. One day he said something that I think was so important for the kids to hear, and probably for us to hear. He said, "The commandments were made by God as a way for us to keep close to God." And he said, "There's nothing worse than being far away from God, and nothing better than being close to God." That's good stuff. I like that. And that is what the Sabbath is all about. It's about taking time to work on our relationship with God and with each other, to be here in the worship space or there at home, and to praise and worship and sing and hear the word of God and take the time that God has given us and give just a portion, a small portion of our time and our energy back to God, our Creator. But the other reason we have the Sabbath is just so we can get some rest. We humans are not designed to go nonstop. We are not Energizer bunnies. We can't just keep going and going and going without having time to renew and refresh. We are a limited resource. We need to rest. We need to recharge our batteries in order to do what God has called us to do. Anyway, back to the gospel. The 12 disciples, they came back to Jesus, but there were so many people that they couldn't talk to each other. They couldn't eat. They couldn't get anything done. So Jesus said, "Hey, let's go somewhere else, a deserted place where we can be by ourselves, away from this crowd, and just rest." Last week, we had family come and visit us from Wisconsin. We had a great time. They ran all over the great state of Colorado, and they saw so many incredible things. On Friday of last week, Janet and I both took the day off. We took a day off. And with the help of some friends right here from Joy Lutheran Church who loaned us a vehicle large enough to carry 7 people, we ran away. We ran away to Rocky Mountain National Park. What a great place to be surrounded by God's creation. Which reminds me, I have a story within this story, real quick. While we were hiking up to Emerald Lake, a man with 2 teenage sons stood looking at all the beauty that surrounded us, and he said out loud, "There aren't many places where wherever you look, you can see the wonder and the beauty of God's creation." One of the sons said, "Well, you get to see Mom every day." The dad looked at his wife and said, "Yes, I do." How beautiful is that? Anyway, back to our family in Rocky Mountain National Park. We drove the vehicle up to the Alpine Center, which is at the tippy top of Trail Ridge Road. We got out of the car and we hiked up to the peak to the sign that said 12,005 feet. Up there, it was about 55 degrees, and the wind was blowing up to 20 miles per hour. So we didn't get to spend very long at that height. We came back down, and as we were getting into the car, I heard someone yell, "Rod!" Now, it's funny, because my first thought was, "That's odd. What are the chances that there would be somebody else named Rod way up here right now?" It never occurred to me that somebody was actually yelling at me. But I heard it again. "Rod!" I turned around, and there were 2 members, a husband and a wife from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Madison, Wisconsin, where I was the pastor for 10 years, standing there looking at me. And of course, we ran to each other, we hugged them, and we heard the story of how they were in Colorado for the funeral of a friend's wife, and they were all brokenhearted. Then They just happened to come to Rocky Mountain National Park. Then they just happened to come to the Alpine Center. Then they happened to be in the parking lot at the exact same moment that we were at the parking lot. Doesn't seem like an accident to me. What I think happened is that God gave us an opportunity to meet them there, to love them and care for them and to care for each other at the top of the world. So running away and hiding and resting, turning into ourselves and all that, it is a great idea, and we do need to take care of ourselves. But it doesn't mean that the needs of the world disappear while we rest. Getting away and resting was a great idea when Jesus did it too, but it didn't mean that the problems disappeared. And it didn't work out for him or the 12 disciples did it. The people were so desperate for a word of hope and love. They were so hungry for a healing touch from the presence of God that they just couldn't stop themselves. The people saw where Jesus and the disciples were going, and they went ahead of them. They ran ahead of them from all the towns across the ground, and the people actually got to where they were going before Jesus and the disciples got to where they were going. And they were waiting for them on the other side. And Jesus and the disciples, who were absolutely tapped out by this point, completely exhausted, looked at all those people standing in front of them and they said, "Go home, people. Get out of here. Just leave us alone. Can't you see we're too tired to do this? We need to rest. We need to eat. We need to take care of ourselves. Sorry, we are closed. Beat it." No, they didn't say that. Jesus looked at the people gathered in front of him, and he had compassion. I know we've talked about this before, but the word compassion is a really important word for the people who follow Christ. For us, it means to suffer with. He looked at those people, and not only did he feel a sense of obligation, but he actually suffered with them. He loved them. He looked at them and was moved to the depth of his soul. Actually, the word in Greek means to the depth of his bowels, you know, his guts, deep in his guts. You know how it hurts your heart and makes you upset, maybe even a little nauseated, because you love the people and you identify with their pain so much? Because you know what it feels like to be lost, to be without hope, to be hungry for God, to be in such a deep spiritual need that you just need someone, anyone, to listen to you and to give you just a little bit of hope. To Jesus, the people looked lost, like sheep without a shepherd. No one to care for them. So, he did. So let's get back to Jesus' leadership style from the beginning. We've already established that he was the boss. He had the plan that was given to him directly from his boss, God his Father. And this was the plan from the beginning of time, that he would come, he would break into human history and restore us to the glory of God. So Jesus was and still is our leader because he has the plan. However, he was also a servant. Jesus was a servant leader. Y'all remember this concept? I'm afraid that right now we live in a world that has forgotten what that means. A servant leader is the idea that someone would take a position of leadership not for their own glory, not for the accumulation of power, not for the benefits that the position will give them. But remember when people would take positions, go to work, do a job for the sake of other people, for the good of the community around them, to meet the needs of the world that was hurting and broken? There have been people who have chosen to give their lives for the sake of the common good. And Jesus is the model of servant leadership. When he saw the people who were lost and in need, he could not. He absolutely could not, out of good conscience and out of a sense of what is right and good and holy, He could not turn his back on those people. So even though he and the disciples needed rest, he gave his life for those people in need. And thank God, because he did the same thing for us. In the book of Philippians, it says that Jesus poured out his life. He emptied himself for us. And I know that it's really hard for us to understand that someone would love us that much, that someone would have so much compassion that they would actually empty themselves for us. But he did. So how's that supposed to make us feel today? I mean, thankful that he loved us so much? Obligated to him for everything he has done for us? How about committed to living a life that emulates and honors his life? A life that picks up the cross, that is willing to serve other people over and above our own wants and our desires. Living a life that empties itself in humility and hope in the promise that God will not leave us empty. A dry old husk, a void, empty shell. But in fact, if we give our lives in service to God, in the love and the hope of God, then God will raise us up, strengthen us in times of need, give us eyes to see the people around us with compassion and a willingness to give up some of our comfort, some of our rest, some of our resources, and even some of our heart for the sake of the people of this world whom Jesus loves. So don't get me wrong this morning. It's both and. Rest, Sabbath, is good and holy and completely necessary and commanded by God. And at the same time, we're called to be like Jesus, to be servant leaders in this world, to empty ourselves for the sake of others, to see those around us who are lost or afraid or in need, and to have compassion on them, to suffer with them deep down in our guts, and then to do something about it when we see them, even when we are weary. Still, to do the right and good thing in Jesus' name. And yes, when we do that, when we run ourselves ragged, the world's going to look at us like we are complete idiots, that we're fools for wasting our lives and time and resources on other people who may never appreciate it. Well, then so be it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, so be it. Let us join together and be idiots. Let us be fools. Let us be servants. Let us be leaders and witnesses. Let us be people who choose to respond to the world in the exact same way that Jesus did, with compassion and love. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day.
My shepherd.
together with the whole church on earth, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Together, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all those who are in need. Lord Jesus, our rock, our refuge, our Savior, in you we find our rest and our peace. Filled with the assurance of your love and grace, renew our hearts and minds this day, knowing that all we do and all that will be done comes from your hand. May we find comfort in the life we have from you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for all of the kids and youth and adults who attended and led Vacation Bible School this week, for the joy that filled this space, and for the learning about you and your word that took place. We rejoice with everyone who was a part of this week. May the faith of all who were here be strengthened and nourished by your promise to be with us always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need this day, for those affected by natural disasters, and especially the fires out west, for those who are hungry and without adequate clothing or shelter, for those who are victims of violence and oppression, for those who are sick and injured and in need of your healing care, and for those who are close to us in our hearts and minds, that they may receive the care they need and that they may be sustained by your love. Today we remember in our prayers Mike Phillips, Bob Marsalek, Marnie Pearson, Ann Collins, Virgil Hendrickson, Steph Hawley, and Jean and Lacey Williams, as well as those whom we name to you now in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the young people who will be attending confirmation camp this week at Rainbow Trail. May this week be a blessing and a source of renewal and hope for each person who gathers there. And may they return safely to their families and friends and to this church, that all may be inspired by the work of your Spirit in their lives this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we lift these prayers to you, trusting in your steadfast and abounding love and grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our offertory, and if you would like to contribute and participate in the ministries that we have going on here at Joy Lutheran Church, you can certainly make an offering through our website. But during this time, let's breathe. Let's breathe and remember the presence of God who is with us. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, and with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness, through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, and into the future, we bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it. And then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup and blessed it and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, this is the body of Christ, and it is given for you. This is the blood of Christ, and it is shed for you. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, the bread of life, we have received from this your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to go out in love to serve the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen. May the blessing of God, who provides for us, who feeds us, and who journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen. Let us join together in singing our sending hymn.
Just be.
Body of Christ. Thanks be to God.